And I was at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, for 4 months.
When did you join? When did you go into the service?
In November of...
1942.
On Armistice Day.
Isn't that interesting?
I wondered what was wrong when I got to Fort Belvoir. There was nobody around. It was a holiday.
Oh.
So I was there 4 months when I was sent overseas to Morocco, South Africa. I was assigned to the 11th Evac Hospital, which was semi-mobile. The hospital had been operating without nurses. So it was an interesting experience.
Did you, when you were assigned to this, to the Evac Hospital, did you go over independently alone? Did a group of nurses go from Fort Belvoir? How did the cadre of nurses get assembled for that particular
unit? They were from different areas all over the country. I think there were 4 of us from Belvoir. And we finally...
Then you joined the other nurses.
Yes.
Joined the other groups, and then you became the...
There were 40 nurses.
Yes.
And then we were attached to that hospital.
To that hospital. Well, Barbara, now here you were in Morocco, attached to the station hospital. So what developed when the nurses became a part of this unit?
Well, it was interesting to learn how the hospital was functioning. The doctors would tell the boys to give so many pills. The urinals were passed down the line in the ward. And I was kidded about airing all the blankets on the fence. But other than that, it was we were operating as a station hospital, and of course the casualties were minimum, you know.
Did you have a operating room as part of the Evac Hospital? Or?
Oh yes, a very active operating room in the front lines, even neurosurgery. Well, when we started out for the Tunisian campaign, which was at not at Morocco, but at
Northern Africa. Was this part of the Northern Africa campaign?
It was at Tunis.
Oh,
We were at Morocco, and yes. The campaign, you know, was at Tunis.
Was your Evac hospital supportive to a specific army, or did you serve?
We followed whatever army was in that area.
Yeah, all right.
Well, when we were transferred then to, and we moved trucks up to the front line, so we had no protection as you usually do with the Geneva Cross, you know, on the trucks.
Yes.
So so many nurses were assigned to a truck, and the officers and corps men were moving the trucks. We moved the hospital and the trucks to the front line,
yes.
And that was a long trip.
When you say long, what do you mean by long? How long?
Well, hundreds of miles.
Oh.
And it was, of course, interesting along the way because we could see how the natives were living. We went through the desert and bivouacked at night.
Yes.
The doctors, I shouldn't say this, I guess, they thought we would all have prolapsed uteruses from riding in the trucks.
That's very interesting.
Anyway, so we'd stop along the road and we'd hold up a blanket, and that was our latrine.
Oh, just...
It was very rugged, but
yes.
We had a lot of fun.
Yes.
And usually we'd stop along the way somewhere and get a bottle of wine, and that was our dust cutter in the afternoon. So we really enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun. So when we finally landed at Tunisia, we got the casualties from the desert, you know.
Yes.
The
desert battle, that was,
yes.
The casualties that you were, yes.
I don't know how long we were there, but from there we moved to Sicily. And of course they made a mistake and sent the nurses on ahead of the hospital and the officers and men, and we went across the, I don't know what ocean it was, anyway.
The Mediterranean, little, was that the Mediterranean Sea?
I guess it was, with this little LST boat. And there were no, the toilet facilities were all clogged up. And we sat on the deck and the water splashed up on the boat. And by the time before we got to Sicily, we were all so seasick, we didn't care whether we lived or died. And one of the interesting things I'll never remember, a bomb floated by the boat. Yes.
Yes.
And when we got there, the minute we landed, there was an air raid. And of course, we did the most stupid thing you could do. We all crawled under a truck.
This was in Sicily.
So we went to the staging area and there was nothing there, but there was a hospital there and they didn't want us there because they didn't like my dog. He was white and they thought the planes would see the dog. How stupid can you get?
When did you get this dog? Now this is your first reference.
I forgot about the dog.
Yes, you forgot to tell us about
the dog.
The dog
was given to us in Africa by some enlisted men who couldn't keep him. He was a little pup. And of course, along the trip, the dog, you know, he wasn't housebroke. We'd say to this one enlisted man, we called him Bull Moose. Bull Moose, walk the dog. Come on, walk the dog.
Yes.
Well, anyway.
So you mean you kept this dog with you from your initial staging point in Africa, and you still had the dog with you?
Still had the dog, yes.
Yes. What was
he
the dog?
He grew up in the outfit.
For heaven's sakes. What did you call him?
We called him Eric, because we went overseas on the Swedish ship, the John Ericsson, and we called the dog Eric.
Yes.
Well, anyway, we were there, and so the engineers were around, and we went into pup tents and we dug foxholes so that at night, if there was an air raid, we could jump in a foxhole. Well, after jumping in about twice, we got tired of that and we let the air raid go. And we were actually in the combat area, right in the combat, and we saw planes being shot down. Yes. We never experienced that later. So then when the officers came, and we wandered all over the countryside, when the officers finally came and the hospital was set up, and he said, there's no more running around in the fields. We stay in the area. So that was, of course, we moved along into Sicily in different areas with General Patton.
Did you, well, let's go to, so, well, maybe before we consider further the nature, you know, some of the other activities that came about in the, can you tell us what influenced you to volunteer?
Right now, I don't know.
You just don't remember, but were any other members of your family in the service at the point that you enlisted, or did they go in subsequently?
My brother was in the service. And my nephew.
Yes.
And my nephew was in the same army as I was, and we met overseas, which was very nice for the family.
Well, I know that you graduated from St. Francis General Hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and that particular hospital was a part of a Pittsburgh military general hospital. How is it that you didn't become a part of that group?
I don't know. I think I was probably influenced by a friend who was in the service. And I didn't, I don't know, I wanted to go in on my own, I think.
Okay, that was interesting because I know a large number of people from Pittsburgh and a large number of St. Francis graduates joined that particular unit.
And they went with the Pitt unit.
Oh, it was considered the University of Pittsburgh
unit.
Okay, all right. What did you do prior to your enlistment?
I did private duty nursing, and I was a registrar at the Nurses Professional Registry, part-time.
And where was that located at?
It was in Fifth Avenue.
In downtown Pittsburgh?
Yeah. No, over in Oakland.
Oh, in Oakland, in the Oakland section of Pittsburgh. So, we'll ask some of these other, you know, sort of concrete related questions here, and then we could get back to to your experience, because certainly your experience prior to military service was different than what you became involved with as a member of the EVAC hospital. So Barbara, tell us what developed then as your unit moved into, you know, began its work in Sicily.
Well, the conditions there were very primitive, to say the least. We had blackout, total blackout, because the planes are flying over every night. We knew the German planes, they called Jerry's flying over.
Yes.
But for some reason, they knew we were there, but they did apparently respect the hospital. But we did have blackout, and we were working with flashlights, and we had lanterns. And of course, that whole area, the poverty was so depressing in Africa and in
Sicily.
And Sicily, the people, they were
yes.
so, it was overwhelming, the poverty. It was interesting, there were so many crevices in the ground, and we poured the water, the wash basins and everything in all these holes, you know. There was no problem, you know.
What was the basis for those crevices? Was that
I guess the volcanic.
Oh, I see. That was just the it just happened to be
and
the way the terrain.
And of course, you could see Mount Etna
yes,
in the morning.
Yes.
It was.
What was your specific assignment in the unit? What was your nursing assignment?
All the nurses were head nurses, really. You had a ward with corpsmen.
And how many patients did you have in
the
evac?
We had 40 in a ward.
40 in a ward. And how big was the evac hospital? How many did you have?
I think we had about 250 patients. It consisted of a shock ward. The casualties came from the
yes.
clearing station. They
yes.
just had first aid
yes.
seat. And maybe the tetanus and what have you. And then they were sent to the shock ward, and then they were treated, and then sent to the various wards, as surgery, neurosurgery, and then of course we had a lot of malaria.
What was your ward assignment?
I had different assignments. It would vary. Every
I
time
see.
We moved, you'd get a different assignment.
I see.
We had a lot of malaria in that area.
Yes.
And
did your work hours? Did you have 12 to 12, or how? What?
We worked 12 hours, and we changed on Monday. We didn't want to be on longer than a week, and so Monday was a rough day. You had no days off. You worked, and when we moved, half of the hospital moved on and set up, and the other half followed. And all you did was throw your musette bag in the tent and go on duty. So you, the days were long, but I don't know, it never.
Did it alternate? Like you said, like half of the hospital was set up, then would the other half set up the next time? You alternated
with
setting up.
And then of course we had the active surgical ward. It was mostly debridement, what they
yes,
called. And then
yes.
the patients were put in casts.
Yes.
And the next day they were evacuated
yes.
usually.
Yes.
You had to watch them for shock
yes.
and see that the casts were, you know, they were.
How did, when you were in Sicily, now you mentioned that was a active war zone area, did any of the personnel in the unit, were they injured?
No. Usually we were 50 miles from the front.
I see.
It's
I
only
see.
When we landed we were
yes,
in the active.
I see.
They were, the planes were bombing the harbor.
Yes.
See, and we landed there.
Yes.
And we
and
were
you
near
weren't
the
set up. And you weren't really set up as soon as.
So
you
we were stationed near the harbor.
Yes.
And
okay.
It was funny, you'd go to the latrine at night.
Yes.
And you'd be on the way, and all of a sudden a plane would go over.
Oh.
And there you were out in the
yes.
open field, you
yes.
know, it would scare you.
Yes.
The latrines are always.
What did you talking about the about that aspect of life? What did the nurses do for bathing and so forth?
They bathed in the helmet.
Yes, that's all you used throughout your...
Not always. Sometimes they would take you by truck where they have char areas.
Yes.
But it was so dusty over there, you were dirty.
By the time you
returned. You were dirtier when you came back.
How long was the evac hospital stationed at Sicily? How long did your group remain there?
It was a very quick campaign. I don't think we were there very long. Offhand, I don't know.
Then what happened? Where did the unit go?
Well, then from Sicily, we went to Italy.
Yes.
And our first station was the Cassina area.
Yes. That was heavily bombed.
Bombed, and we were beside another evac hospital. We were side by side, and we were near the town there. Cassina was, and we could hear the raids at night, but the casualties were very heavy.
Yes.
And the one day we'd take the casualties, the next day they would take them. It was on a back hospital from Chicago, I think.
Yes.
And then from Cassina, we went by boat, and this time we went by hospital ship, and that was kind of nice. It was lit up, you know, and the food was good.
Yes.
And we went from there to Cassina area.
Yes.
And that, of course, was very... the Cassina area, we had replaced a hospital where two nurses were killed.
Oh. They weren't a part of your group?
No.
We
were in a high elevation, and the beach was down below us.
Yes.
And of course that's where the planes were
bombing. They were bombing the beach area. Yes.
And they flew over the hospital.
Yes.
And well, it was interesting. The patients all lit up their cigarettes when the planes came over, and the flak would come through the tent, and you could hear it tingle.
Yes. Well, why would they light their cigarettes? Why would the patients
light? They were nervous.
Oh.
They were in bed after all.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. That was a part of a nervous response.
And we were dug in there.
Yes.
Our tents were dug in, you know, and they had dirt over the roof so that the flak came down.
Yes.
You were hit by fragments, not a bomb, but by fragments.
Yes.
And most
of
the injured patients were hit by fragments.
Yes.
That's what the injuries were.
Right, yes, general, yes. Where did you go then from that assignment? Where was your next
step? We were there quite a long time, and of course the...
When you say a long time, how much in terms of, you know, months, 6 months?
We were probably there a month.
Oh.
The casualties were very, very heavy there.
Yes.
It was very, very depressing.
Now, you mentioned a month being a long time. So then, actually, how long would your unit have remained in these other areas? Did you just remain a week?
We moved with the front.
I see.
But like the front moved, we moved.
Like a week or with...
Well, I don't know now.
But still,
it seems to me we were there a month, and then after that, we moved on.
So yes.
From there, we moved on to another area in Sicily.
Yes.
Or no, Italy. And then we functioned as a station hospital.
Then you became a station hospital.
Yeah.
So were you permanently then assigned to that area, or did you again move? Or after you became a station hospital in Italy?
When we were not in combat, we functioned as a station hospital. Sometimes the war was at a lull, you know.
Yes.
Or they weren't moving too fast.
Yes.
See, we first it was a field hospital.
Yeah, well, I see.
And then the evac hospital.
Yes.
And we hopped, see.
Yes. Well, then did you become a evac hospital again after your station?
Oh, yeah, we were evac all the way through the war.
I see. You reverted back to evac whenever the nature of the battles would call for that kind of follow-up.
From there on, I'm trying to think where we went after that. We went to Northern Italy.
So, Barbara, you went to Northern Italy. Now, and where was that, approximately, where was that location?
I think it was called Salerno. We were always near the ocean. It was very nice. You know, on our pre-con, we went swimming.
Yes, yes. I wondered what you were,
oh,
if you
yes.
had any, if you were able to do any, to do anything for relaxation. Yes.
Oh, and then of course the officers, when they were, when there was a law, they had parties.
Oh.
There were a lot of parties.
Yes.
And that, you know,
yes.
dances and things.
Yes.
We were too popular. You couldn't spread yourself around. From there, we went to southern France, and I have trouble remembering so long ago.
Yes. Well, you said you went to southern France in what group? Now, you said some. Of course, there was fighting still going on in Italy,
oh, yes.
but you joined. Now, you became the support group to which army then?
I think that was 7th Army.
7th
it
Army.
Was 5th Army, and then it was 2 Corps, and then this was 7th Army.
Yes.
And in southern France, we went up through France very quickly.
Yes.
We went to the famous places like where they made the perfume. And we all bought perfume
yes.
everywhere.
yes.
And then we went to Grenoble, which is a very interesting place, you know.
Yes. Now, were you assigned there, or was this?
Well, we were yes. stationed
as
there.
As you were moving. You
more or less as a station hospital.
I see.
And it was interesting because the you could see Mont Blanc.
Yes.
Long after the sun went down, it was white, you know. It was very nice there. And of course, the people in that countryside were very nice. They would sometimes they'd bring an egg down for every patient on Sunday, and they wanted to visit all the time. And it got to be, you know, all these people walking through the wards. You know, it just
was the fighting still active at this time, or was there a
no,
lull?
Not in our area. It wasn't
yes.
too active.
Yes,
it was more or less station hospital.
Yes.
And they were very nice to the nurses too. They'd bring us pastries and things, and they were a treat, you know,
yes.
when you had sea rush.
Yes.
From there, we went to.
Now you're still moving through France.
Into France.
Yes. Did you get into Germany?
Yeah, we went to Germany. Where did
yes.
we go in though?
Yes. Now your unit proceeded to go through France then.
Yes, we made several stops, and in fact, we spent part of a winter there, and that's the only time we were in a building. And this was a former, I guess it was a French psychiatric hospital. And at that time, we did have a lot of casualties. But it was interesting. It was very... there was a lot of snow in the state all winter, but in the spring, the sun came out and that was it. Winter was over.
Do you recall where the name of the town?
It was near Strasbourg.
Yes. yes.
And from there we went to, we were situated near the Rhine. And of course, there was heavy casualties there also. The fighting really became very concentrated there. And I think at that time we were getting some German prisoners, Russians, and they were in such a pathetic physical condition that you tried to give penicillin and there was nothing there but skin and bones. And none of them could speak a language, and none of the people in our outfit could. They were so emaciated that their eyes haunted you. But they didn't stay very long. They were evacuated to another area.
Yes.
But that was one of the experiences that...
Yes, that would be one of the sad experiences that you witnessed. Did you, when you left Strasbourg then, did you get into Germany? Because you said this was
yeah,
on the border
crossed
of France
we crossed
and Germany.
The Rhine on a pontoon bridge.
Yes.
And if you think that wasn't cute.
Yes.
I
would describe a pontoon bridge. I'm not sure exactly what that
involves. A pontoon bridge is something that's hooked together. I mean, it sways as you go over it. Yes, and then Rhine was not a small river.
Yes.
Of course, I didn't say that en route, all this, through all this area,
yes.
we didn't miss many points of interest. When we had free time, we were out looking at cathedrals
yes.
and lots of points of interest. It was
yes.
really very fascinating. And of course, you could hitchhike. It was very safe. No nurse was ever in any problem. Yes. You could hitchhike with the GIs.
Very interesting.
By trucks.
Yes.
Yeah. And in fact, we had one of the most highlights of our trip or our experience there was an audience with the Pope.
And which Pope? Was that Pope Pius XII?
Yes.
Yes. Was that accidental or was that arranged?
Oh, no, that was arranged.
Through your chaplain?
Oh, yes. Everyone, he had big audiences. And he was so frail, but there was something about him that it was very impressive, that he didn't seem to be of this world. Maybe it was his frailty.
Yes.
Or his beautiful hands, which he used so nicely.
Yes.
And of course I got to see the Sistine Chapel.
Yes.
And the Pietà.
Yes.
And the beautiful Transfiguration.
Yes.
Of Raphael's, you know, the original.
Yes. That was certainly a contrast to the work you were engaged in.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
The beauty that was still.
Oh, and the cathedrals and all the points of interest. In fact, I had to leave in Rome, and we did get leaves, you know.
Yes.
I went to Switzerland.
Yes.
And I went to England.
Yes.
So all in all, I...
So you saw Europe while you were...
I saw 8 countries.
Yes, gee. Well, to get back to your service, then where was the group when the fighting ceased in the European theater?
Well, first of all, we crossed the Rhine, and then we were situated at Heidelberg.
Yes.
Famous Heidelberg.
Yes.
That's where, I think the war ended when we were
when
Heidelberg.
When you were stationed in Heidelberg.
Yes, stationed in Heidelberg.
Yes. This did... When the war ended, well, by the time that the war ended, of course, your unit was certainly involved in a number of battle areas and probably received... a significant number of awards.
Yes, we had 7 battle stars, and we also received a unit citation from the French government.
Was that before you left the area, the unit citation from the French government, or
we
did that come subsequently?
Yeah, we got it after we left France.
Yes. When the war ended, when the battle activity ended in Germany, how long did your unit continue to function was it terminated shortly thereafter?
Because we had so much combat, our enlisted men had a lot of points, and most of them went home almost immediately.
Yes.
It was sort of sad.
Yes.
You know, parting.
Yes.
Every week some left.
More left.
And of course the 11th of Bach, being a regular army hospital,
yes,
continued on to some other area.
Yes.
And we were then assigned to the 103rd Station Hospital.
Yes.
And of course I was supposed to, my family tried to get me home on emergency leave months before that. But
What happened?
Because my father was ill. And they tried everything in the outfit to send me back on a flight. The planes that evacuated casualties, you know, to the States, and we didn't have any success at all in that. And so, of course, I came home then on emergency leave.
And when was that?
That was,
or approximately when?
Right after the. After the armistice or whatever it was.
Yes.
And of course I flew home then.
Yes.
With my dog.
You still had your dog.
Yeah, I still had my dog.
Still had your dog. Then did you, with the emergency leave, then how long did you remain on active service?
I came home for a month and was discharged in the States.
I see. And that was, what time of the year was that?
I think it was September.
September of 1945.
Yes.
So that your military service,
yeah,
terminated. Well, you certainly were close to the fighting scene, probably more so than many of the nurses who served in the in World War II.
Yes, we were, and but we liked it. And there was a, there were times when they felt that we should go to the rear, because it we only felt that we needed to change, but none of us would part with the job. And sometimes the nurses and surgeons from the general hospital came to the front and helped, and a lot of them wanted to stay, especially the nurses, but we wouldn't trade places with them.
I see. So really there was concern for you, but
yes.
The group didn't want to.
Well, it was a rough life. It was.
Yes. Well, you didn't have
convenience. The work was hard, and
yes.
the winters were cold.
Yes.
And our clothing wasn't adequate sometimes.
Let's talk a little bit about what did you wear while you were
working. Well, we wore men's
working.
GI shoes.
Yes.
For one thing, because we were in the mud.
And wear fatigues?
Yeah, we wore fatigues.
Was that essentially your uniform, for duty?
We wore whatever was comfortable. Nobody cared too much what we wore. The fatigues were issued. They were two-piece outfits.
Yes.
And, of course, in the summer, we wore those...
The seersuckers?
Seersuckers. They were very nice.
The slacks. You
going from tent to tent with the wind blowing.
Did you wear the seersucker slacks, or did you wear
the slacks?
The slacks
were plenty baggy.
Yes.
None of the outfits were very flattering.
Yes.
But we didn't wear those clothes all the time. We did have social events,
and you got dressed up. Yes, and you wore your
dress up.
Well, how much were you allowed to? How much baggage were you allowed to have for each nurse, considering that you moved so often? So you probably were restricted. Did you have a...
There was no restriction. You had a bedroll.
Yes,
you threw everything
right.
in the bedroll.
Whatever you could put in the bedroll.
Yes. And we usually had a suitcase, but mine, after they threw it around for a while, it was no more.
It fell apart.
Yeah.
You lost your suitcase. Did of the officers about your safety and whether or not they should continue to have nurses in the unit. Were there any attempts to alter your assignments, say, to protect you, while you functioned as nurses, and maybe have GIs assigned to certain things?
Oh, no. Their concern, I think, it wasn't the officers weren't concerned. I think it was headquarters thought that perhaps the nurses on the front line should be relieved because of the stress and the work. But other than that...
But the difference in the sexes never had any effect on the nature of your assignment.
No, that wasn't the problem at all.
Yes.
No.
You talked about, of course, living in pup tents. Did each nurse have a pup tent, or how was?
No,
how
we only were in pup tents at one time. And I think they were given to us by the engineers. We went there with nothing, say, but we had to have some shelter.
Yes.
So, no, otherwise we had what they call a wall tent, two nurses to a tent. And that's what we lived in most of the time. And, of course...
Did you sleep on cots in those tents?
We had cots with bedrolls.
Yes.
They weren't... They weren't beauty rest mattresses,
no.
But we had no trouble sleeping, I can assure you.
Yes, not with your long hours of duty.
Of course, in France, it was cold in the winter. And the only one time we were in a building, the other time we were still in the outdoors. So we had a larger tent, and I think there were six, maybe sometimes eight nurses in a tent with a pot-bellied stove. Well, most of the nurses didn't know how to build a fire. They'd throw kerosene in and then the lids would fly off and you'd hear the popping.
Yes.
I didn't have any trouble coming from a farm. I knew how to build a fire. But it was interesting. And of course, in parts of France, after the winter, everything gets inundated, and it's like a big lake, and a couple of times we just got out in time. Yes, the water was in the tent.
Is that because the terrain is flat?
Yeah, it was something that, I guess it happens every winter.
Yes.
The low areas, they become lakes, and then when the spring comes along,
and
they,
the water recedes.
But we were in a couple of areas, we just made it out in time.
In time. That's... You made reference to what I think were a number of memorable experiences. Were there others that you'd like to bring to our attention? You talked about seeing. I think you, earlier, or at least privately, you mentioned seeing Mount. Was that Mount Vesuvius in action? Or
oh yes, we. You saw Mount Vesuvius. In fact, I was on a leave at Sorrento. I think it was Sorrento. We were supposed to cross the Bay of Naples to see that the famous resort there. And we were under the Vesuvius, and it was a very touchy situation.
When it was active.
Yeah, when it was active. And the ash on the street was 4 inches tall, 4 inches high. And of course, the volcanoes do explode, you know.
Yes.
And we were practically under it, so it was, it spoiled our leave. We didn't get to go anywhere.
Yes. Are there any other experiences that you could think?
Oh, it was in an earthquake, too.
Where was that?
In Italy. Before Vesuvius erupted.
Oh, there was an earthquake that preceded the Mount Vesuvius eruption. Did you witness any damage from the earthquake?
No, it everything moved, that's all.
You felt the sensation?
Yeah, your chair rocked, see.
Yes.
And it was over in a second. But
were you aware that it was an earthquake?
Yes, we did. Of course, what else would it be?
Yes.
And then, of course, in Naples, the people were frightened.
Yes.
They were closer to Vesuvius.
Yes.
And well, we stationed there. We were also able to, we went to a couple operas in Naples.
That was interesting.
Yes.
Yes. Did you have any interesting personal experience? Now, you mentioned, of course, some of your traveling and having access.
I didn't find a husband, I can tell you that.
That didn't develop.
No, that didn't develop.
That didn't develop with all your exposure. But did you have any other experiences?
We all had amoebic dysentery. That was quite an experience.
That was quite. Well, you mentioned being seasick and amoebic dysentery, and of course a lot of exposure to malaria. And mentioning your health, were you relatively well throughout your experience?
Yeah, surprisingly, we were well. We got colds and things, but. We had physicals.
Yes, but you didn't develop any serious illnesses or that would have put you on sick leave.
No, most of us were quite healthy. I guess living outdoors helped.
Yes. Did you lose any of your nurses, you know, within the unit to...
Not there, no.
Yes,
no.
And we talked about the housing and, of course, the medical care and your dress. And in retrospect, what your experience in the service versus what followed, how did that influence you in your choice of work after you returned home and were discharged from the service?
Yes, I decided to go to veterans.
Yes.
To work in the veterans hospital.
Because of your association
with the
military, you wanted to continue.
Yeah.
And did that have any direct bearing on the kind of assignment you received? You worked for a Veterans Administration hospital. Was this a did you go to work for a Veterans Administration hospital, a general hospital?
Yeah.
Did you have any choice of assignment or did
Oh no, you didn't have
did
any
just,
choice.
Yes. Now you mentioned that in the service you were head nurse of a ward. Now what happened when you came to the Veterans Administration hospital?
You were staff nurse.
You were staff nurse,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was your rank in the service? What rank did you
finally,
achieve?
Finally, first lieutenant.
First lieutenant. You left the service as a first lieutenant.
Yeah.
Did you consider joining the reserves?
No, I wasn't interested in reserves at all.
I see, because you mentioned being interested in working with the veterans, and
I had enough of the war.
I see. You didn't want any further further military type activity. Did you think that, and again, we're talking about, you know, prior experience versus military, when you went into the war, did you think that your experience helped you prior to going into the service?
Well, I guess it did. You know, I had a good many years of nursing experience.
I see,
hope
before,
it helped.
Yes,
I hope
oh,
it helped.
Yes, actually, yes. So you were, you had...
And of course you learned on the job.
Yes. Well, yes, the different aspects
of
the...
Aspect
yeah, the different aspects you learned. But in terms of your nursing service, you felt that you were very well prepared for what you were called upon to do as a Army nurse.
I think so.
Yes. When you... When you went into the service, did you have any conflict being a woman and being a part of this scene, which was generally male, you know, overall male? Did you feel?
I don't know, none at all. But I think it's because I was a nurse.
Yes, I think that's true.
I was no threat to anybody.
Even to yourself. Yeah, because you had already been taking care of patients in the past. You had that kind of exposure, so some of that wasn't necessarily a change. Just obviously the situation was more threatening.
Thought of that.
Yes.
No.
Yes. When you came home, did you use the benefits from the available through the GI Bill?
Yes, I went to college and earned my Bachelor of Science in Nursing.
And did you use any other aspects of the GI Bill for housing or?
No.
No, it was just the education. Did you use up all your educational benefits?
I didn't use all of them.
I see. But you got your degree and you. And when you think back now about your military service, or even earlier, had you ever considered what required the most adjustment? You know, of course, obviously, you were in a very stressful situation, a considerable portion of your military experience. You know. With the being in so close to the battle areas and so forth.
I don't think we felt that.
I see, you never...
No, I'll tell you, it was...
Do you think you felt it or you just never gave it any thought?
No, it was, I tell you, we had a close-knit group. We were there to do a job, and the GIs were so wonderful. You couldn't, it was a labor of love, really it was, because they were so nice. And of course they loved the nurses, you know, after all we were women. They didn't see many women.
did you at all ever consider like the restriction of regulations or dress or?
No, I tell you, in the field you didn't have that.
Yes.
We lived very freely, we didn't even salute. And if you went to town, these whacks, they gave you those sharp salutes, you know, and you really felt that you're not with them.
Yes. Well, you mentioned earlier, you didn't mention this in the part that was recorded, but you made some reference when we were talking before the recording session. One of the nurses did some writing to the chief nurse.
Yes.
What was that about?
Different things that we needed. And I think some of the things were toilet articles, and even our clothing. And I think maybe that's when we got the bedrolls. We were cold. She knew Colonel Blanchfield, and she wrote to her. And of course, she was very anxious to
accommodate.
To help the nurses.
Yes.
So it was a congresswoman from Ohio. What was her name?
I don't
recall. She had been a nurse, and she was very interested in the nurses.
Yes.
In fact, I think she visited the area.
Yes. Well, you were saying that you felt like you needed some supplies that you were not receiving, but you felt that you could have you could use. And then subsequently, it did come about after this contact with the chief nurse.
Yes.
yeah. of the Army Nurse Corps?
Well, we wore mostly now our jackets and things. They were GI issued,
yes,
you know.
Yes. Well, did the nurses make an attempt to get these items first through the through your director of the hospital, or?
No, I think she wrote directly to Washington.
I see. So really, you didn't try to get it through through the unit here. So, was there any part of the of your experience that you really had the most disliked for, or a regulation that, as you said, though you really weren't held too much to regulations? Was there anything in your experience that you?
Not necessarily. There was some, I think there was some conflict, it is in every outfit.
Yes. Oh, you mean just some between people. You mean some,
yes, right.
some interaction conflicts,
yes.
yes. But not in terms of the structure or the nature of the setup or something of that sort.
Not really. I think we ironed out a lot of things as we went along.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you learned. Okay. You learned from past experience. And so you were probably able to avoid certain things or to. Well, after you came home from the service, then you mentioned you went to work for the Veterans Administration Hospital. And are you still working?
No, I'm retired.
And when you retired, and how long have you been retired?
I've been retired a long time. I retired when I was age 60.
So you're enjoying retirement.
Very much so.
Yes. Do you want to, since we're doing this tape as a part of the Pittsburgh Unit Women's Overseas Service League, when did you join the Women's Overseas Service League in this area?
I don't remember offhand.
Did you join, do you think, right after the service?
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
You, uh-huh.
No, I was pressured into it by Mildred Dunmore. I'm not a joiner.
You're not a joiner. But
no.
And I know you have been involved in many activities with the unit, particularly at the bazaars. Of course, you're our flower lady.
Yeah.
Do you want to make some reference to that?
Well, of course, I'm a gardener. That's my hobby. I'm an organic gardener, and of course, flowers are part of it.
Yes.
So usually these flowers are something that I can't bring into the house. You can only bring so many in, so the bazaar gets them. So really, it's
You certainly supply us with a large number of flowers and plants for the bazaar, and it's truly, everybody looks forward to that. And you know, they usually disappear quickly.
Oh, thank you.
Everyone is anxious to get their flowers. I think they sort of wait for that time of the year. So, were you, did the Women's Overseas Service League, have you been an officer of the unit?
No.
You haven't moved in any of those roles.
No.
You were involved very actively with the sewing of those, with the crafts. I know you and your sister supplied a large number of crafts also for the bazaar. And were you involved with the making of the Raggedy Ann and Andy dolls?
Well, I helped with those.
Yes.
We made the crazy cushions. And of course, my sister and I, once we had this project for the people in Appalachia and the Indians, and my sister and I made a lot of comforts.
You mean that this was a project by the unit?
Yes, my sister and I.
Yes.
And of course, the unit also donated clothing, a lot of clothing.
Yes,
which
that's,
I was responsible for shipping.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you were the person involved. That was when we were sponsoring the children through the, I can't recall the name of the group, the Save a Child Federation.
No, this was a different thing.
Oh.
This was clothing for the Indians and the people in Appalachia.
Yes.
And we're still sending seeds there.
Yes, right. Yeah, but our activity otherwise has sort of ceased in that area since they seem to have. Yeah, that's right. This is for a good many years. Yeah, you were involved in collecting all these clothes and making certain that they get shipped to Appalachia. So, well, is there anything else you want to comment on that we may have overlooked before we?
No, there's nothing. It's so. all this happened so long ago.
I think you did very well, though. You remembered the names of some of the names of towns and things, which in it's true. It's a long time, and but I think you did very well in describing some of your experiences.
And of course, I brought my dog home, and he lived here. I think he was 8 years old.
Well, you received considerable publicity after you came home. You showed me some newspaper clippings.
Well, the ANA was setting up some kind of a placement bureau to place nurses who were coming out of service. So they wanted me to provide the publicity. And of course the dog was an added attraction.
See?
So I went down to I didn't want to do it, but as Sister Laurentine said, oh, well, now you have to do that for the nurses.
Sister Laurentine was with St. Francis General Hospital.
So we went down to the William Penn, and we went to the 17th floor. And of course of the photographers took our pictures, and
there were large write-ups in both.
Yeah, there were large write-ups in both the papers, and the interesting thing was they didn't want to let me in the elevator. You can't take a dog in there. I said, well, I got up here. How am I going to get down?
You helped to promote this this activity,
the placement service.
That's really great. Were you involved in any other publicity?
Yeah, there was one article that was a reporter from the Washington Post interviewed me in Africa. No, I think it was France, my dog and I. And it was a write-up in the Washington Post. And I don't know how I heard about it, but I wrote, and the editor sent me a photostatic copy, which I thought was very nice.
Oh, very good. Was that because of this dog? Was there this interest?
The dog interest.
That was unique. That was unique. So, well, thank you very much, Barbara, and I appreciate you participating in this oral history.
Thank you.